You're listening to Season 2 of Kids Cue the Music, a podcast where we talk to musicians, composers, performers, and kids.
Kids like you. We're asking the questions you've always wondered but never had the chance to ask.
And we'll listen to music to see what makes it so interesting and fun, and sometimes strange.
Because music is for you.
I am your co-host, Sarah Lane.
And I am your co-host, Rebecca Lane, Sarah's mom and director and owner of the Lane School of Music.
Let's cue the music. All right. Welcome to another episode of Kids Cue Music. I'm your co-host, Sarah Lane. This is the other co-host,
Rebecca Lane.
Yep. And then we've got another co-host here, too. His name is Chirps Farewell. He's a lot of names.
His last name is Farewell?
Yep.
Oh, I did not know that.
What do you think his last name was?
I didn't know he had a last name. This is becoming really serious. Co-host here, Chirps, welcome, and welcome to all of your
appearances.
Yes, Chirps has been making some appearances, and so welcome everyone. Today we're talking about sizing up, meaning
getting a new violin.
Yes, because this happened in our house. Actually, two people got new instruments recently.
Yes, I can tell you, Zara got a new violin.
Is that Chirps speaking?
Yes. How do you know?
Just like asking. Okay. Go ahead, Chirps.
Zara got a new violin.
Charles got a new cello. Sarah got a new violin. That's what happens when you grow.
Yeah. I mean, Chirps Farewell, he doesn't really get a new instrument.
No, I mean, he doesn't have any arms, so playing an instrument at all is quite challenging for him.
Oh, no. He plays a piano. You know why?
With his beak.
No, he doesn't play with his beak. He plays with his feet.
Oh.
Like, he sits on a super high chair and his feet play it.
Yes.
Makes sense, right?
So the thing about string instruments,
it's very hard.
Violins and cellos, is when you start when you're small, you get a small instrument.
Yeah, like
they're teeny.
You went to
the sound post.
And it was like one.
It was literally the size of a pencil. Like it was, I held up a pen beside it and it wasn't even that much bigger, the violin. It was so, so tiny. And it was for a very small child, probably age 2 or 3, or maybe even a 4-year-old that just happened to be small for their age. And that is an instrument that they could start out on.
Just so happen to know how to play the violin.
And as students get bigger, they need bigger instruments.
Yeah.
And so violins and cellos come in very small sizes.
If you play the piano with Chirps, you don't get...
It's true. Yeah, you don't size up with pianos. You just start with the full...
Yeah, we met somebody and she played the bassoon or the quint.
Quint?
Yeah, the quint. She played the quint. I'm getting mixed up with quartz.
It's okay.
She played the quint. And the quint is like a small bassoon.
Yes, and you can hear all about that in our episode with Olivia Patey. I think it's called Olivia's Operatic Adventures.
Yesterday.
Yes, we recorded it yesterday. Anyway, so when you start an instrument, especially violin or cello, but this can happen on flute. Clarinets often start on recorder because they're smaller. Guitarists often play ukulele a little bit because it's smaller. We often recommend that to kids. If they want to play guitar, we say start with ukulele because it's smaller. Because kids are small, but then when they get bigger, they need bigger instruments. Don't you find it funny, Zara, that we say like if you outgrow a shirt, like a t-shirt, we say this is too small for you. I remember Thomas saying once that he thought that the t-shirt had shrunk. And he had stayed the same size. Just because of the way we word it. We say this is too small for you. But actually you're too big for it. You have grown the instrument or the t-shirt or the shoes or the skates or whatever. Stay the same size. So anyway, what happened was Zara and Chase both were too big for their instruments. Their instruments were too small for them. So we needed to go and get bigger ones. So a couple of weeks ago, I headed out to the sound post. You didn't come with me this time, but you have been there before. Do you remember?
Yes, I've been there before. It is covered in instruments. I'm pretty sure the sound post is made of instruments. the walls are the size of pianos. And the pianos are built into the wall. It's piano stacked. Pianos are stacked up. So there's one keyboard.
Pianos at the sound post. Are you thinking of the right store? The sound post is like a string instrument store. There aren't any pianos there.
No, a piano is a string instrument.
It does have strings on the inside, but it's not part of the string instrument family. And the sound post does not sell pianos.
It's the letter Y, because it could be
a vowel or a
consonant.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
So it belongs to two different categories.
It could be a string or...
Some people call it percussion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it has...
Some people call it a keyboard instrument.
It has hammers. Like, but they do it on the strings. And so, like, if you use it on your violin, it makes a noise.
Yes.
If you just so happen to have a real piano, not just a keyboard, but it has to be a real piano.
Okay. We're getting a little off topic.
Yes. But you can literally look inside the piano and play a note, and you'll see the hammers.
True. Okay, the sound post, the store, is a violin and cello and viola shop. And I think Diddleby's too. They do repairs, but they also sell instruments and they rent them. And they are located in Toronto.
Wait,
and no. Also there's one in Ottawa.
Yeah, but if you get a violin, you'd only get the violin.
Yeah, you just get one at a time usually.
No, you'd only get the violin.
What do you mean?
Usually, the case is not a stringed instrument. The bow is not a stringed instrument. The rosin, yes, it is not a stringed instrument.
So when you go to the shop to purchase or rent an instrument, typically you buy it with the case and the bow and the rosin, typically. And at the sound post, that's what they do. If they sell or rent you an instrument, it comes with all those things. It's called an outfit. Yeah. So Zara had, I think your violin was a quarter size outfit, and Charles, I think, did Chase have, I think he had a quarter size as well.
Size
cello. And so they were small instruments. And why did we know that it was time for you to get a bigger one?
Maybe because we could reach a little higher than we were supposed to.
Yeah, like your fingers were naturally wanting to stretch out more when you were playing, and you were actually...
You couldn't hold the violin properly.
Yeah, you might...
It was way too small.
Okay, so you've listed two reasons. One of them was you could reach way higher than you're ever supposed to reach on the violin, and so the notes weren't hitting anymore.
That would just never work, because, people know...
It would never work. Is it chirps?
I'm trying to chirps voice. It's hard.
And the other one was, it was hard to hold your instrument properly, wasn't it?
Yes, it was so hard to hold the instrument that... Zara broke her bow and grew glass. She was bending over the bow. And then...
You did snap your bow.
And
I had to pay for it when we went to get a new one. Anyway.
Yeah, how much did it cost?
I don't remember. It wasn't cheap. I didn't enjoy paying the bill.
$7,000 million?
It wasn't that much, no.
Chirps dollars?
Zara's teacher was saying, I think Zara needs a bigger violin. And Chase's teacher was saying, I think Chase needs a bigger cello. Chase and Charles are the same person, by the way. And Chase was even having a lot of trouble. Actually, Zara, you never really saw this, but when he was playing, cellos have an end pin. It's like this long stick at the bottom that you can adjust depending on how tall you want the cello to be against your body. And he had his end pin out all the way, like it was the longest it could possibly be. And his cello was still only coming up a little above his belly button. Like the body of the cello. And so he couldn't play it properly either. And it was time to get a bigger one. The thing about string instruments that's important to note is that you never want to have an instrument that's too big, kind of like bicycles. Like you never want to be riding a bike that's too big. That's just not safe. And so it's the same thing with string instruments. You never want one that's too big.
Well, for clothes, it's better to have something that's too big.
Yeah.
And you could just wear something with the thing that's too big.
Yeah.
That's fine. But for things like
bikes,
what do you call a bike?
Skis is another thing.
Yeah, what category do you put a bike in?
Wheeled vehicles. I don't know. For bikes and skis,
somebody should have come up with a name.
Yeah, cycles.
Bison.
Cycles. I think they're just all in a cycle.
Bison.
Bicycle.
Bison.
Bison is something else.
Anyway, bison.
Violins and cellos are in the same kind of situation that it's never good to have one that's too big. So if you ever go to get size for an instrument, you're like, I don't know, you're not quite ready for the bigger size, then you know that you should stay on the smaller size until you're fully ready. So we didn't want to switch sizes too soon, but we also waited way too long to go. They were getting ridiculously small. So finally we went to the sound post, or I went when you were at school. Because I knew that you needed another size. And because of COVID, they don't let a ton of people in the shop right now.
Is there a limit? Like, you can only have 30 people in the shop at a time.
Oh, way fewer than 30. And you have to make an appointment to go right now anyway. So if you're thinking of upsizing your violin at the soundpost,
911.
Call in advance.
Don't call 911. No. Call 911-813-91111.
Oh boy, don't call
and
that number.
And then you will be able to go to the soundpost to get a new stringed instrument.
We will put the actual phone number and link in the show notes.
It shouldn't be called a soundpost, though.
That's the name of the shop. The soundpost.
It shouldn't be called a soundpost, though.
Website.
No, it shouldn't. You know why?
Why?
Because.
That's it? That's a punchline? Because?
No. You should just call it maybe the string post, not the sound post, because all instruments are string instruments.
Okay.
And so maybe you should call an all instrument.
All string instrument shop?
No, an all instrument shop, a sound post.
Well, do you know why it's called the sound
post? Or anything that can make a sound should be called a sound post.
But do you know why it's called the sound post?
No, because strings make the loudest sound.
No.
Well, I'm better at the accent than you are.
You are better at the accent than me.
Why?
It's called the sound post because violins, cellos,
and
viola,
sound and in general are better than sound.
They have a post inside them. It's a little wooden post that connects the top of the instrument to the bottom. If you have
then it makes it
sort of. I mean, it's called the sound post.
Do pianos have that post?
No. No, they do not. So the post connects the top and the bottom of the instrument. And if you look through the apples, you can see it.
Oh, like kind of like the bridge?
But on the inside.
It's yeah. Like mini bridge, but no.
But it's just one post. It's not like the bridge is, you know, like a flat piece that holds the strings up. This is just like a cylinder, a little post that connects the top and the bottom. Yeah. It helps the whole instrument to vibrate together.
Yeah. Do you like
and it sounds much better.
You like my Scottish accent?
And the sound vibrates off the sound post. How do you know how to speak with a Scottish accent? We don't know anyone Scottish.
Because people in The Hobbit, they're all from New Zealand, I think. Because
they filmed it in New Zealand.
Well, yeah, because it's a Wingnut Films. It's a Wingnut Films. I don't know where Wingnut Films comes from.
Not sure.
It's like New Zealand, somewhere British, because like all the actors have this accent. And for the behind the scenes, they talk with that accent.
British, I think. But I guess some of them probably are Scottish.
Well, okay. Most of them are. Like,
we are going to
Gandalf probably is
get back on topic, though. Yeah. And so we went to the sound post, or I went, and I said, I need a bigger instrument. And they said, what kind would you like? And I said, I really like the brand that we have. I just want the same brand for the violin. So they were like, okay, your current violin is an Eastman brand. And I was like, yes. Keep the Eastman. I love Eastman string instruments. They're really, really good. If you're shopping around for violin or cello rental or viola, probably, or purchase.
And we suggest model, you use the Eastman model of a violin.
Yeah, they're excellent.
It is extremely excellent.
I always
extremely
say,
amazing, wonderful, awesome, incredible.
So Zara plays on an Eastman. A lot of our students at the Lane School of Music play on Eastman.
Yes.
I didn't like. I like them all. Every single one that I've met, I'm like, wow, this is a great violin. And they're not the super expensive ones. They're kind of middle of the road.
Named my violin.
I thought it was Bob the Second.
No, it was like Kevin or Brad or something.
Oh, interesting.
Brett, I remember you saying you didn't like those names.
Yeah, they're kind of ding names.
Why don't you like them?
But whatever, you know. I know Kevin's and Brad's that I like as people, so they're not bad names. We got another Eastman half size for Zara. And then they brought out a cello and they said, they were so sweet. The person who was helping me said, okay, I pulled out this other brand cello. Chase didn't have an Eastman cello. I don't remember why. They probably didn't have an Eastman in his size when we went the first time. They pulled out this other brand of cello and they said, this is a nice brand. It's a little bit more expensive to rent this one, but you know, you might want to try it out. It might be worth it. And I was like, I'm sure it sounds nicer. However, I need to get exactly the same brand. It needs to look as similar as possible to the cello I am trading in because my son is quite attached to his cello. Do you remember this, Sarah, when I said, I'm getting you a bigger cello tomorrow? Do you remember what happened?
And she started crying.
Yeah, he was not happy. The thing about instruments is that they get really personal, like as you had with Bob, you named him.
Yeah,
I became your friend.
He wasn't that personal.
He wasn't. Yeah, but Chase was really attached to his cello. His cello was named.
He didn't even like playing his cello. He just liked.
But he liked his cello.
He likes his cello. He doesn't like,
he doesn't like practicing it, but he likes his cello. His cello is named Chenry.
Because, okay, I'll tell the history.
The history of Chenry.
Our house was getting renovated, and so we had to stay at a cousin's house for a little bit while they were at camp for the whole entire summer, because they run the camp. And so they let us stay in the house. And we, well, our cousin left one of his stuffies there, and I remember Chase being very attached to it.
The stuffy.
And he named it Henry.
It's a ladybug.
Yes, it was a ladybug. And he took it back home, in fact.
He was so later, and they gave it to him. Like, you can just keep it. You love it so much.
So in later life, we gave our cousin back.
We got a new one for the cousin. Yes.
We got two twins, actually.
Did we?
Yeah.
We got a few Henry's, sorry. Henry's
stuffing ladybugs. When he knew he was going to play the cello, when he got his first cello, he just said, you were like, oh, well, what are you going to name it?
And he was said, like, Chenry.
Well, oh, well, of course, I'm just going to name it Chenry.
Not Henry. That's the name of the ladybug. Chenry, like ch with a ch, because it's a ch cello. So not Henry. Chenry. Yeah, Chenry the cello. And Chase, his name also begins with ch.
Yes.
So Charles named his cello Chenry.
Chenry.
And he got very attached to Chenry.
Extremely attached, like emotionally attached.
Yes. And when I said, we're returning Chenry and we're getting a bigger cello, he was like devastated, very upset. He did cry quite a bit. And I actually...
We were going to interview him, actually. He said no.
He didn't want to be interviewed about
because
it.
Because he wants to be on his phone.
Yeah. Well, he has other things to do. Anyway,
including being on his phone.
Including playing games on his phone. Any other family secrets you'd like to reveal on the podcast?
Yeah, we love Dr. Pepper.
So when I said I was taking Chenry and returning him and getting a bigger one, Chase was upset, understandably. I even asked in a forum on Facebook of, you know, a bunch of parents and teachers that teach music lessons and take music lessons with their kids. And I was like, my son is really upset about returning his cello. What can we do? And they were just like,
are there any tips?
They did give me some tips about returning an instrument if you are really worried. This Facebook group actually is called the Suzuki Triangle, and it's wonderful. If you're a parent who has children who take some lessons, Suzuki method lessons, this is a great group. And if you are a teacher who teaches in that method, this is a great group. It's run by Christine Goodner, the author of several books. Anyway, that's just an aside. But the Suzuki Triangle is a great forum on Facebook.
Wait, so why haven't we interviewed her yet?
We have interviewed her.
Oh, yeah.
She, like, does... She's a genius in practice strategies.
Oh, what? What did you even want?
Written books about it.
Like when they couldn't find a Lego piece or something? Like they...
I don't know if that was it.
She wrote a book about a dinosaur?
No, a different person, I think. Anyway, what I was going to say is they all gave advice like, you know, maybe you can have two cellos at the same time so that he can get used to the new one and sort of have some time with the old one to transition. And I was like, I feel like that's just going to make it worse, like taking a Band-Aid off really slowly. And I think we should need to rip it off. So I didn't want to do that. And some of them said, you know, maybe he can come to the store with you and meet the new cello. And I was like, he can't do that because I have to make an appointment and it's during school and I'm not bringing him out of school to get a new cello. So no. And in the end, I just had to be like, Chase, I'm getting you a new cello.
We're sorry.
I'm sorry. And he said, maybe they can just give Chenry a new end pin and he will be longer and I won't need to get a new one. I was like, maybe they can. We'll see. I'll ask them when I go.
I think that was just to make him happy, Mom.
It's true. I knew that they wouldn't put a new end pin in. That's quite a significant...
Why?
Well, it's also a significant...
Why?
...repair to do a cello. So it was like, I will ask. I didn't lie. I will ask. And I did ask. When I got there, I said, my son wanted to ask. Wanted to know. He wanted me to ask. Can you just put a bigger end pin in? And they said, unfortunately, no. And they giggled a little bit.
Why?
Because it's kind of a silly request. It's probably not something that people ask all the time. Anyway, they gave us a new cello that looked just like the old one, but bigger. Same brand. Everything was the same. It even had a couple of little like nicks in the wood in the same spots. And I brought it home and I said, this is not Chenry, but it's Chenry's brother.
How did it go with Chenry's brother?
Because they were made by the same company and they looked very similar. And I said, I think you should try it and see how it sounds. And as soon as Chase played his new cello, he was like, oh my goodness, it's louder. It rings more. It fits my body better. And he fell in love and he named it Chenry II. So for all of you getting new instruments, would you say that, like, for your violin, Zara, would you say that it was tricky to adjust to the bigger one?
Way, definitely way harder than it was for Chase.
Yeah, Chase just, like, took to it because he was, I think he was even bigger for his cello than you were for your violin. So it actually helped him to play better. But for violin, what are some of the things that you needed to do to adjust to the bigger instrument?
I'm still adjusting.
You're still adjusting. Tell me one or two things that you are adjusting to play your bigger violin properly.
Well, I need to adjust to the fingering. My pinky finger couldn't reach high enough, and my fingers were either too low or too high. I can't remember.
So, did we put tape on your new violin?
No.
Ah, you had to use your... You had to, instead of using your eyes and looking at tape, you have to use your ears, is the correct answer. You have to listen to put your fingers in the right place. And that's tricky because it feels different. To make the same sound, you have to, it has to feel different. So, and also, I think one of the most important things for violinists to note when you're switching to a bigger instrument is that they are heavier. And so it does make your arm a little bit tired at first. Also, the bow is longer and that feels funny at first. Because you had broken your bow, though, Zara, before we returned your violin.
Yeah, we had to get another bow.
We were borrowing a bow. And the bow was bigger.
We still haven't put it back.
No, we have. Yes, we have. I put it back a couple of weeks ago. So you actually were already used to getting a bigger bow. And that's one of the tips for adjusting to a bigger instrument is sometimes just switching the bow getting used to that and then switching or vice versa is
Maybe you should just break your bow on purpose.
No, do not do that.
I know. I was joking.
Do not do that. Don't break your bow.
Can I do the opera or cheese? Because it's on.
Yes, it is time for
opera or cheese.
Opera or cheese.
Opera or cheese. Opera or cheese.
Opera or cheese. Opera or cheese.
Opera or cheese.
Opera or cheese.
Opera or cheese. Opera or cheese.
Okay. Sarah's so going to ask the questions, and I am going to do my best to determine if it is an opera or a cheese. Here we go.
Platy or platy?
P-L-A-T-I?
No. P-L-A-T-E with... like a macaroni or something.
Oh, a little like accent on it? Plate?
Yeah. Well, it has like a hyphen on top of it.
Okay. P-L-A-T-E with an accent.
E-E.
Oh, okay.
Only one. The first one with the X.
Right. It's French. Plate. And I am going to guess, well, who is the composer?
I don't think I'm going to tell you that.
Ooh, I tried to trick you and it didn't work. Well, it sort of did. You didn't want to tell me that, so maybe it is an opera. I think it's a cheese. No, I think it's an opera.
No, first guess.
First guess is the one that I have to go with?
Yeah.
It's a cheese. But it's actually...
an opera.
An opera by who?
It is by...
Rameau. Platé. An opera by Rameau. Never heard of it. Rameau is a French composer, though. I've heard of Rameau. Next.
Okay. Crotin D. It's C R O T T I N D E
D
C H A V I N No G N O L.
You spell the last word again?
C H A V I N G N O L.
Not okay. That sounds like a cheese to me.
Okay. Any last guesses?
No, that's a cheese.
Yeah, it's a cheese. Oh.
Is it actually a cheese?
Yeah.
Is it a cheese? Say yes, Mom, it's a cheese. You got it right. Congratulations. You're amazing.
It's so annoying because you got it right.
You're just like, yeah, it's right. Okay, last one, number three.
I was kind of worried after I realized it was French. Because I know you went to a French school.
I did learn French growing up, yeah.
Yeah, what does it mean?
No idea.
How do you know then?
Because French, you can recognize languages even if you don't know what the word
is. So
means.
What did it... Yeah.
Yeah, de is a French word. It would be D if it was D-I, if it was Italian.
Yeah, but... Yes, so how did you know...
It meant cheese?
Yeah, like...
It was a guess. It sounded like a cheese to me. Okay, next. And I may have seen you scrolling up on the list, and the cheeses are at the bottom, so... you know, I have seen the list before. Number three, numéro trois.
What does that mean? You're out of time?
No, it means number three.
Okay. V-A with two dots over it. S-T-E-R-B-O-T-T-E-N-S-O-S-T.
Try to say it, please.
Okay. Vesterbottensaust. Oh, I feel like I've done this one, actually.
Vesterbottensaust. It sounds German.
Probably.
And I'm going to go with cheese. Again, all three of my guesses have been cheeses. There's already an opera, though, so could be cheese.
Any last words of wisdom?
No. Who's the composer?
I'm afraid I can't tell you, even if it's an opera or even if it's a cheese. Which most definitely is.
It's definitely not a cheese. You totally gave it away. It's definitely a cheese. Isn't it?
You know, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Did I get it right?
7, 8, 9, 10.
Zara, 20. Is it a cheese? Is it a cheese?
It's number 13 on the opera list.
It was an opera?
No, it wasn't.
It was a cheese. You were messing with me. It's a cheese, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I am giving you the hardest ones I can find next time. You have been messing with me.
Cheese, opera,
opera,
cheese, opera, or cheese.
That's all for our episode today
of
Kids Cue the Music.
Kids Cue the Music.
And we will see you next time
on Kids Cue the Music.
We hope you enjoyed this episode about
Kids Cue the Music.
Have a great day, everyone.
This is Kids Cue the Music.
Bye for now.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Kids Cue the Music.
If you've enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Your reviews help more people like you find our podcast. Don't forget to follow us on iTunes and follow us on social media at Lane School of Music.
I am Zara Lane.
And I'm Rebecca Lane. See you next time on
Kids Cue the Music. Oh, wait, Trips needs to say it. Bye. I have been making appearances, and yet I have not talked, which I know some of you hate me. I know specifically you.
Not a fan. Say goodbye.
So, I believe I'm leaving the podcast.
You're growing on me. At least you're soft.